Tonight, the title of the message is, Are You Dressed for the Wedding? You might think that's kind of an odd title, but as we go through this for a few minutes this evening, you'll see and understand. We're going to be looking primarily through Matthew 22, 1 through 14. So those of you that are able, please stand for the reading of the word. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. But they made light of it, and they went their ways. One went to his farm, another went to his merchandise, and the remnant took the servants, entreated them, and entered them spitefully and slew them. But when the king learned of this, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies to destroy those murderers and burn up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, that they which were bidden not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king observed the guest, he saw a man which had not on a wedding garment. He said, Friend, how comest thou in hither and not have a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Thank you. You can be seated, please. In what we just read, Jesus is painting a picture of the rejection by the nation of Israel. He warns them of their certain doom, which was accomplished back in 17 AD. He is also telling them of his intention to fill the Father's house with people other than themselves. The king is king in his parable, sends his servants out to find other guests to come to the wedding celebration. As they gather themselves together, the king notices a man in the company who does not have on a wedding garment. The man is cast out of the wedding celebration. These verses paint a picture of salvation. When Israel rejected Jesus as their Messiah, he turned to the Gentiles. You see, the Lord intends to fill his heaven with the redeemed from earth. Only those that have a personal relationship with the Lord, Jesus Christ, will be admitted into heaven. The Bible tells us that when the redeemed of the Lord gather together there in heaven, that there'll be a marriage. There'll be a time of celebration known as the marriage of the Lamb. And if we look at, you don't need to turn there, but if we look at Revelations 7 through 9, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Verse 8 tells us that the people involved in this heavenly celebration will be dressed in pure white garments. It is these garments that I want to focus on this evening. As we look at the events in this parable and at the fact that those that are saved, when it comes to the wedding, according to the Bible, you must be dressed properly or you'll not be admitted in. Now, we all understand eternity is coming. Our lives will not last forever. You'll need to be absolutely certain that you'll be clothed in the proper attire. When you reach the end of your earthly journey, today I'd like to talk about this question. Are you dressed for the wedding? As I do, I want you to listen to the Word of God and let the Lord speak to your hearts. If you find you are clothed in the rags of your sin or the flimsy clothes of your own self-righteousness, I'd like you to respond to the Lord and allow him to have his way in your life. Allow me to share four observations this evening. The first one, the availability of the garment. It's available to all of us. All the king sent his servants into the highways, literally the wide places and the plazas, to gather together all that they could find. He wasn't concerned about their character, their past, social standing, abilities, popularity. He just wanted whoever will come to the wedding celebration. This is a picture of what the Lord has done for us in his plan of salvation. When the Lord made his plan of salvation, he prepared a way that was open to all. From all walks of life, God's plan is available to whosoever will come. The plan of salvation and the garment of righteousness is available to anyone who desires it. So it's available. It doesn't matter who we are, where we came from, what our walk in life is. It's there and it's available to all of us. It's available by invitation. Notice that the king sent out his servants to invite people to the wedding. While anyone can be saved by the grace of God, before anyone can be saved, they must be called by the Lord. In John 6, verse 44, no man come unto me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up that last day. You can only be saved when the Lord is dealing with your heart. Many people feel convicted by their sins, but they think they can do it when they are ready. Not so. The only time anyone can ever be saved is when the Lord is dealing with your heart. However, he has not promised to call them repeatedly. There will come a day after the Spirit of God has been turned away when God will no longer deal with And there's always a danger of stepping over God's deadline and condemning your soul to hell. If the Lord has been calling you to be saved, come today. But do it now, while there's still time to get right with the Lord. The second observation, the acceptance of the garment. It's common in weddings involving the wealthy to provide each guest with a white wedding garment. When the guests accept the invitation, they would be given their garment. And they would then wear it to the wedding when the day arrived. Again, what a picture of salvation. The day a person accepts the Lord's invitation to Jesus and salvation, that person receives the robe of righteousness. That is, their sins are forever forgiven and are justified by faith. Paul referred to this idea in Philippians 3, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own the righteousness which is of my God by faith. The wedding garment is given to every believer at the instant of conversion, and it's worn by every believer all the time. So if we are saved by Christ, we wear that wedding garment all the time. It's received by faith. The way to get the wedding garment is simple. Faith. It's given to those who place their faith in Jesus alone for salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is no one will ever get their wedding garment by being religious, by being good. It will be given only when a sinner places his faith in the atoning works of Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then shall he be saved. For with the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's totally free. Doesn't cost us a thing. The garment cannot be purchased at any price. It's a gift. It doesn't matter how much money I have or you have or anybody, any of us have. Nor does it matter how little the one has. All that matters is faith. When a person receives Jesus as Savior, God gives him the wedding garment. Salvation cannot be purchased. It's the gift from God. It's a proper fit. I know myself personally, when I shop for clothes, I have a hard time because I have a rather large neck. So if I'm buying a shirt and I want it to be something I can button so I can wear my tie to come to church, I have to really search. But my biggest challenge is when I want to buy a pair of jeans or a pair of slacks. I can put them on. Hey, they fit just right in my hips, or the waist is just right. But you know what? I can never find a pair of jeans that are short enough. So I'm forced to buy what I like that fits everywhere except the legs. Then I got to go down to the alteration shop and I got to get them hemmed. But, however, the wedding garment given to us all by the Lord, it's a perfect fit every time. It fits the young and the old, the big and the little, the rich and the poor, the short and the tall. God's wedding garment fits everyone perfectly. Salvation is a perfect fit for everyone. No one was ever made worse off by believing in Christ. No life was ever ruined by a personal relationship with Jesus. It's approved by the Father. Notice the king came in and saw a man without a wedding garment. He was forced out and rejected by the king. The garment was a requirement to be in the presence of the king and to attend the wedding. The same is true when it comes to the garment of salvation. To be without one is to face the Heavenly Father unprepared. However, every person clothed in the garment of his son's righteousness will be accepted by the Father in heaven. It being good won't do it. Being kind won't do it. The only thing that will clothe you in such a way as to make you pleasing in the sight of the Lord is for you to receive Jesus Christ. When the Lord arrives in heaven, you'll not be admitted on the basis of what we did, what we didn't do. They all wore the same type of garment, and they were all identically dressed. So is it with salvation. A person comes to Jesus to be saved, he changes us completely, externally, internally, and eternally. So great is the change that even the Lord never sees that person the same way. He looks at them through the blood of Jesus and declares them to be justified and righteous in his sight. When they are wearing the wedding garment, they are clean in the sight of the Lord. So when we wear the wedding garment, which is freely given to us, if we put our trust and faith in the Lord, we're considered clean in the sight of God. It covers one's appearance. When those people were found, probably some were dirty. Others may have been beggars dressed in rags. Some may have been wealthy and were dressed in all the finery that money could buy. But whatever their appearance, when they were called, when they put on the wedding garment, it covered everything. Gone was all their filth, the ugliness, and the rags. All that could be seen was the white cleanliness of the wedding garment. The Bible tells us that our own righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. In Isaiah 64:4, sadly, many are blinded to their true condition. However, when a person places his faith in Jesus for salvation, they are covered by his righteousness and the blood of Jesus and by the grace of God. Thank God, when we are saved, we're seen as being clean in the sight of God. Not by our works, not by our goodness. So the question that I ask everybody, how are you dressed this evening? And the fourth thing that we'll look at here is the assurance or the absence of the garment. After the guests arrived for the wedding, the king saw the man who wasn't wearing a wedding garment. This event produced three great reactions that we're going to consider this evening. Please consider that if you try to go to heaven without a wedding garment, these things will come to pass in your life as well. One will produce a showdown. We know when the king saw the man without a garment, he confronted him about it. My friends, everyone in this room needs to remember that there will come a day when every person will face God one-on-one. For the saved, it will take place at the judgment seat of Christ. For the lost, that dreadful day will be the great white throne judgment. Every person who lived and died without a wedding garment will have to stand before the Lord and give an account for their life and their deeds. And the next one will produce shock. When the man saw that he was not hidden from the king, the Bible says he was speechless. That is, he made no excuse for his condition, and he offered up no apologies. The bottom line is that when he was confronted with the truth, there wasn't much that he could say about his condition. And the last one is, it's going to produce shame. The man in the parable was cast out into darkness. This is a picture of hell. Every person who leaves this world clothed in their sins and not in the righteousness of Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell apart from the Lord who died for them and made a way for salvation. It's an awful place, but it's the destination for every lost soul this evening. There'll be no greater shame than being forever cast away from the presence of the Lord. What will happen when you die? When any of us die? That is the question. What's going to happen to us? And we have a choice. Because, as we talked about earlier, it's freely given. Doesn't cost us anything. And in conclusion, are you dressed for the wedding this evening? You say, how do I know? Well, that all depends on what you've done with Jesus. If you have never received him as your Savior, then you are lost and must be born again. If, however, there's been a time in your life when you bowed as a sinner, called on Jesus by faith, confessed your sins, and received him into your life, then you're saved. If there is the slightest doubt in your heart this evening about the condition of your soul, I challenge you. I challenge all of us to come to this altar and get it settled. Are you ready for the wedding again? You can be, but you must be dressed. Jesus and his righteousness alone. But again, you must be dressed. Will you come if the Lord's calling you? So, close in a word of prayer, and then we'll break off into our groups, please. Dear Lord, please bless the service this evening. Please bless us. And I encourage all of us to take the message to heart and ask ourselves a very important question. Are we dressed for the wedding? It's free. It doesn't cost us anything. But if we're not dressed for the wedding, then we're not going to go to heaven. We're going to go to hell. So I challenge us all to, if we haven't already, spend time, take time, get right with the Lord. These things I humbly pray in your humble name. Amen.